this moment. I just pray that, God, your hand of protection will be over every person. No one is immune to tragedy or difficulty. But you help us through it. You see us through it. You walk with us in the middle of it. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You are here, even right now. God, you just don't reside in a building. You walk with us, talk to us wherever we are. And Lord, for that I want to say thank you. Every heart and every life to be open to who you are today, God. We give you praise for it. Lord, some have come seeking real answers from a real living God. And I pray that in these next few minutes, you'll be that to them. Nothing that any man or any woman, any person could say. But Lord, what you have to say, I pray that you will infuse them with your purpose, your love, and your plan. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you look like you're getting younger, not getting older. Why are some people laughing about that? I'm glad for every one of you to be here today. The sentence that came to my heart when I was pondering today is, what do you do when tragedy strikes? And tragedy is just simply put an event causing great suffering or destruction, distress, a serious accident, crime, or a natural catastrophe. And you don't have to look far, or you don't have to think much to know that we have had those things all around us. It seems like, in particular, this year that we have seen hurricanes and heard of horrific shootings and senseless murders and things that have just wrecked the culture that we live in to a certain degree. And the answer is always going to be found in the person of Jesus, because in him is love, in him is purpose, in him is life, in him holds everything that the longing of our heart really needs and desires. And when you go through that, when tragedy strikes and it's connected to your life, I've learned that you have the propensity to release and forget about the things that at that moment you thought were paramount in your life. I remember when Ben went through a couple of years ago his stroke, I forgot about being frustrated at him for not calling me back when I had called him. And sometimes you might snicker when you hear that, but how about you? How about the things that happen in your life that you put such precedence on, and you think they're such a big deal until tragedy strikes? And sometimes, you know, I found out that when tragedy does come in through our lives in some fashion or a form, it also resets us a little bit, and it helps us to put back into perspective the priority that is really needed in our lives. And believe me, when I'm saying this, I'm not hoping for tragedy to come to anybody. I pray, God, please help me to make decisions that are healthy for my life, that I don't have to go through some heartache to bring the shift that is needed in my life. When we got the call a little over 3 years ago now that she had the breast cancer, our world was changed in a drastic way. You begin to go through all these thoughts, and if I was frustrated at anything that she had not done or did, that all left me that day. I didn't even think about it anymore. I've shared this before, that when I sat in the chair across from her when she was getting ready to get her chemo treatments after she had the lumpectomy and those things were done, and I sat across and I looked at this woman that I'd been married to for now 36 plus years, and I thought about the good and the bad, and all the bad, any bad I created, right? Amen, men, right? Thank God nobody said amen to that right there. I'm just really loving you more. But as I looked across over at her, and I thought, and they said, okay, are we ready? Like we're going on, a roller coaster ride. It was a roller coaster, all right. As they begin to inject that poison in her that kills bad, but also kills good, too. And to be with her, and I, and I began to weep. And then as she came home that day and she was feeling good, she had work off that day. And then I think it was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was like somebody took and pulled the shade down on her life, that she went from walking and being healthy to she had to go lay down. And we knew. We knew right then and there we were in for a ride. It wasn't all going to be good either. And that has a tendency when you go through things like that to cause you to have this feeling of feeling disoriented. How did I get here? What just took place? How did I end up like this? How are we going through this? And it's almost like that you're walking through like this fog. I read this incredible little statistic about literal fog, that a fog that covers a 7-city block area, 100 feet deep, the water that is in that area will fill less than 1 8-ounce glass of water. And so I begin to think about that, to think that sometimes the very things that we think are debilitating and that disorient us are really not as big as we think they are at that moment. That we can get through that moment. And I found out that as much as and as strong as I am and as tough as I am, that I can't do it on my own. That I need other people in my life to walk through me in the midst of what I'm facing while I'm going through that. That's why I believe the church is so important, that we need one another. You don't even know who you're sitting down next to today. You might not know another person that's in a row with you, that what they have gone through or what they are going through right now. But just you being there, you're helping them today. Just you being here, you're helping people that are facing and going through challenges and difficulties, because we may want to seclude ourselves, but in the moment of that feeling disoriented, we need one another. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, so if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us, purifies, washes us from all sin. We have one thing for sure in common today, that if you give your life to Christ, that no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've done, no matter what sins you have committed, they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are not guilty no more. You have been set free, not because of anything you have done or could do, but because of the kindness of God who has come to give His life for you. Oh, that's good news today. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:3, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace, that we need one another, and in the middle of needing one another, we must keep peace with one another. And don't let things that you think are so big be blown out of proportion that ruins the unity that God wants to bring to you with one another. If you're going to look at any tragedy in the Bible, you got to look at Job. The Bible says that after he lost his home, he lost his family, goods, he's got boils all over him, till the Bible says he's sitting on a pile of ashes and he's scraping his skin with broken pottery. And he says in Job 17:15, where's my hope? Where is my hope? Is there any hope for me? And tragedy will come to whoever, whenever. And when it comes, it'll have also the, after it disorients us, it causes us to have the propensity to drift away. We find ourselves distancing ourselves, not only from one another, but from God. In the very moment where you need other people, we want to seclude ourselves. We want to be away from others. And we don't even realize it sometimes. In Isaiah 53:6 says, we all go astray. We all have turned everyone to his own way. And then when we get into that place, the enemy wants to pull you down this dark tube until you come to this place of feeling despair. You just want to give up. And as we celebrated my grandson Ryan's 10th birthday, and I'm sitting there and my phone begins to ring. I didn't answer it, and I returned the call later. It was a man that I knew from over 20 years ago. I haven't seen him in over 20 years. And he began to speak to me and he says, I wanted to call people that I know could pray for me and help me. And this man, he is a giant of a man. He is He is just incredible. He had a very big part in my life years ago. And he says, I fell, I had my knee replaced 3 years ago, and I fell down a flight of stairs, and it shattered that new knee, and it drove the bone. I mean, as he's describing it to me, I'm getting the willies. And then he had to be rushed to hospital, had to have a traumatic, some type of surgery done on it. He was in the hospital for a couple weeks. He's come home, and they wanted to put him in a nursing home for rehab, and he ended up home, and he said, I can't get up out of bed. He said, I can only get up maybe 3 or 4 times a day. I got to keep my leg up. He says, I'm at such a place of despair. And I'm thinking, God, did you send my notes to him or what? He said, I'm so discouraged. I think I want to give up. I think I just want to give up on life. And I just sat at my desk after I called him back, and I began to read to him these things that I wrote down for today, that the enemy would try when we go through tragedy to even bring us to this place of despair. But God says he wants to lift you out of that. 2 Corinthians 1:8 says we are under great pressure beyond our ability to endure it, so that we despair even of life. We can go through tragedy sometimes. We can go through mishaps. We can go through brokenness that pushes us not only away from people, but it causes us to want to give up on life in and of itself. But I want you to know today that you have something that you can have hope in. You are not alone. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, pure, firm, and secure. We have something that we can hold on to that is more secure than the trouble, than the pain, than the agony, than the disappointment that we're going through today. Many people are looking for hope in all the wrong places, but God says, I want to show you where real hope is. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy. That's it. That's who he is. He is the source of our hope. And he will fill you completely with joy because you trust in him. And then when you do that, you will overflow with the confident hope that comes through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Can I just tell you today that no matter what it is that you're facing, whatever tragedy that has come your way or you've just come out of, or maybe you're in the middle of it, or you have a family member or a friend that is going through that hard time, hardship in your life, that you don't have to do it alone, that you have a hope. His name is Jesus. He is secure. He is right. He will lift you up at the lowest point in your life. Let me tell you something. I've been in the darkest and the lowest points in my life. When I thought it was over, when I thought it was down, I pulled the sheets up over my head. Has anybody else ever been there? You didn't even want to look at the light of day. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the power of God's Holy Spirit came over my life. I know somebody prayed for me. I know somebody lifted my name up to heaven. And all of a sudden, my heart was filled with the hope that I can make it. I can live again. I can wake up and face another day. Come on, do you know what I'm talking about today? And he is the only hope. He is the only source of that hope that will help your life and help mine. You can give up on everything else, but if you'll hold the hand of the one that gave his life for you, he'll see you through it. He'll walk with you. You'll never have to be alone again. I feel like preaching a little bit right now. I can't help it right now. I tell you, when I was so broken in my life, when I felt so alone in my life, and I reached out, somebody, it was the hand of God that reached down and pulled me up higher than I thought I could go myself. And he led me into his ways of righteousness for his name's sake. And I, since that moment in my life, he's given me confidence and he's given me boldness like I've never had before. And he's taken me higher than I ever thought I could go because I trusted in him. Come on, is anybody else trust in the Lord today? I just want to close with these 5 little thoughts for you. If you're going to make it through it, you got to learn to stay close to him. David said in Psalm 62:5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him alone. No other person. You may be here today and you say, and you're in the middle of it, and you say, well, that sounds easy, But you don't know what I'm going through. And you're right. I don't know what you're going through, but I know who will go with you with what you're going through. And if he is with you, and if you're close to him, you will make it to the other side. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who hope in the Lord, he'll renew their strength. They'll soar with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They will walk and they won't even faint. You're going to rise up and be stronger. You're going to stand higher. You're going to go further than you ever have gone before. Those who are going through it need to learn, you have to also stand on the promise of God. The promises that come from God's word, not from some person that just wrote something that's cute and funny. Get rid of that. When you're going through tragedy, come on, you need the truth in your life. You need a word of God to stand on. You need to be able to stand on it. You got to find a verse that'll speak to you so that when you're in the middle of it, you can quote things like 1 John 4:4, that greater is he that is in you, in me, than he that is in the world. Hey, whatever comes around me in the world, I know that the greater one is living inside of me. You got to have scriptures like Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Behold, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means come and harm you. Come on, dads, moms, you need to speak that over your families. You need to proclaim that over your children. No evil will come near my dwelling. No devil, no enemy will take or have dominion over my children or over my family. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, yet in all these things we are, come on somebody, more than conquerors. You're just not a conqueror when you have him living inside of you. He has caused you to be more than a conqueror. If you're sick, Psalm 103:3, who forgives your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. You got to lay that scripture over your life when you're sick, when you're in a financial hardship. Quit crying to everybody else and pick up God's word out of Philippians 4:19, where Paul says, and my God, he shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you're fearful, Psalm 27:1, the Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And I'm going to tell you something. If you fear God, you won't fear no one else. Psalm 119:81, my soul languishes and grows faint for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Lamentations 3:21, you might have got up on the wrong side of the bed today, but yet he says, I'll call this to mind, that therefore I have hope because of the Lord's great love. We are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every single morning. You might have had the worst day of your life yesterday, but come on, you get up today and God says, I got a brand new package for you. It's waiting at your bedside. It's called mercy and compassion. It's called hope. You can make it. You can get through this. You will get to the other side of this in your life. Come on today. If you're believing that with me today, begin to believe his word. Say it. Talk about it. Lay it over that problem. When somebody says your job, yeah, we don't know. It's getting weak. It's getting thin. Your source is not your work. Your source is from the Lord. God said, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And I'll tell you the verse that God gave me on my birthday. I love this. John 14:13. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's not on the screen if you're looking for it. It's not coming. That's why you got to write it down. He says, he goes on to say again, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to tell you, this week I've been an asking machine. I've asked not only for me, but I've asked for you too. I've asked and believed God for great things. And not just on Sunday, but I believe this every single day of my life. Then three, you got to trust him in the process. You got to believe God that right in the middle of it, he says in Romans 5:3, he says, not only that, but we also glory in the tribulation, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, character, hope. You can get through whatever it is you're going through. I know it sounds easy when I'm up here saying it today, but you can go through whatever it is you're going through and know that God's producing something bigger for you so that when you get on the other side of it, He's going to do something greater than you ever thought possible. I thought about that this week. I thought about that when I had my birthday. I thought about it. I thought about Patty when she went through the breast cancer, and I thought how low and how discouraged and how defeated. We didn't know. You don't know what the answer. You don't know what the outcome. Thank God she came through it, and she's looking pretty fine today. And I thought about that this week. She had taken me to dinner Tuesday night, and I saw the live video feed that Ryan did from St. Anthony's. I don't know, 70, 80 kids in there from all over town. Somebody giving a testimony, talking to them about the Lord. Probably some of them come from broken families. I don't know. You know what I thought about? I wonder if we ever would have bought that property over there had she not gone through that. See, it has a tendency when you go through tragedy and hardship in your life, causes you to abandon things that you are fearful of before. And I wonder, as I thought of that and I pondered and I prayed, I wonder who I'm talking to today that is just, you're either in the middle of a tragedy or you've just come out of one and you're thinking, what's happening? I wonder what great things God has prepared in your heart as a result of what you've just encountered. You see, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, He says all things He will work good to them that love God. He will take that hurt, that brokenness. If you'll lay it into His hand, He'll do something good. Because you have been created for a purpose. Listen to this. You have been created to believe in Him for a purpose. My goodness, do I feel God up in here right now? I'm talking to somebody. You've been created for a purpose that is beyond anything that you've ever encountered yet. That pain, that tragedy, that brokenness, that breakup, that sickness, that disease, that does not define you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God says, I know the thoughts I have for you. Listen to this. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and to cause you to hope again. Some of you need to hear that today. This just is a verse that you can say when everything is going good. This is a verse when everything is going against you. That God is working something good out for you. Come on, everybody say that. He's got good for me. Come on, say it. He's got good for me. But if we just stop there, we just live in this temporal world. This world is not your final home because the Bible says He's gone to prepare a place. If all we had was the things in this world, we'd be in trouble today. We're just passing through. Just passing through. We have to keep the ultimate plan that He has for each and every one of us in sight. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? He said, believe also in me, that in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, He said, you can be also. Because whatever happens here, this is not your final place. God has gone to prepare a place for you. That where His Son Jesus is, you and I are going to be also. He goes on in 1 Peter 1. I like how the contemporary English version said this. God has something stored up for you in heaven where it will never decay or be ruined or disappear. Do you know that today? Are you so earth-focused that you're forgetting that heaven, if you've given your life to Christ, is your final home? That's where you'll spend eternity? He says, you have faith in God whose power will protect you until the last day. Then he will save you just as he has always planned to do. And on that day, you'll be glad, even if you have to go through hard trials for a while. But he's saying, okay, you're going to go through some stuff, but you can make it through. Because if you keep him in your focus and keep eternity in your focus and know that he has gone to prepare a place, there is nothing that you can't face down today. God on your side, he's got a great plan for you. He's going to lift you higher than you ever thought you could go before. Come on, do you receive that today? Come on, do you receive that today? Man, I believe that with all of my heart. Close your eyes, bow your head. I'm going to close. I want the prayer people, if you just make your way down to the front here. Your eyes are closed, your head's bowed. Just for a moment, I want to pray for you. I don't know if you're in that today or you're coming out of it or whatever it is that's been happening and swirling around in your life. God wants to be real to you today. The first thing you have to do is make him first in your life. That's not a religious thing. That's asking Jesus to come into your heart. You can do that right where you're at today. You can ask him right where you're sitting. Say, Jesus, forgive me of every sin I ever committed. Say, Lord, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. He'll come in. He'll begin to work in you. You won't even understand the process. He doesn't work on you from the outside in. He works on you from the inside out. Change your life. He make you a new creature. He'll help you get through the tough times in your life. I want to pray for you today. If you're going through something, you've been through it. Maybe some of you today, I sense the Lord to say that some of you live in a constant state of fear. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, because today is sufficient for all what you have to deal with. Quit thinking about what could happen and start living your life right now for his purposes and his plans. I want to pray. I'm going to close in prayer. I just want to believe God with you today to do something extraordinary in and through your life. Father, we come together as family today. All different stages of family today, God. Lord, we declare with one voice our love for you and love one for the other today. I pray that you'll cause us to live the way you have called us to live. And Lord, that today as we leave here, we'll be stronger because we know that you're in us, you're with us, and you're lifting us to a higher level today. I pray for my friends today that have struggled and are struggling with cancer in particular, maybe even that are in the midst of it or have come out of it, breast cancer. I pray that your grace and your life and your love and the healing power of Jesus will be their portion. Lord, we believe you today for power from on high in our lives. God, I pray for every person here today. I pray for the love of Christ, for the cause of Christ. Lord, for each one of us to live the way you've called and created us to live. I give you thanks for that today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you so much. Come on, can we give the Lord one more hand clap of praise? You need prayer?